to What Is Going Om's Synchronize Your Energies, the show that provides clear insights into the rapidly shifting energies that are upgrading human consciousness and evolving life on planet Earth. Each month, hosts Sandy Sedgbeer, Susie Miller, and Lee Harris share their observations and awarenesses and offer a stable means of synchronizing your energy fields so you can thrive, not just survive during these tumultuous times. Here's your hosts, Sandy Sedgbeer, Susie Miller, and Lee Harris.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer.
I'm Lee Harris.
And I'm Susie Miller.
And you're listening to the September edition of Synchronize Your Energies, the show where you not only get to eavesdrop on how the current shifts in energy and consciousness are affecting us all, but also get to balance and synchronize your energies with a powerful process from Susie to support you in navigating the coming month with comfort and ease. And I don't know about you guys, but I would say comfort and ease is something I'm really looking forward to because there hasn't been a lot of it around this month.
So true.
Yeah, so, very interesting
so what's
times.
What's been happening in your world, Lee?
Well, I'm back in England right now for some time with family, so it's been a really good time to actually just be present with my family, which has been lovely for the last 4 or 5 days. But right before that, partly because I was coming here and partly I just suddenly got swept up in the energy of everything, I was really not sleeping. I was waking up incredibly early. I was moving a lot of pieces. I felt very driven to go into action and create things and move things, and I had to get some stuff ready. I was working on several projects, so it's been a very interesting time just to notice that whoosh of energy and kundalini for me, and then now something very different.
You know, you said something there that caught my attention. You said you got caught up in the energy of everything. Now, normally we'd say that, like, oh, just everything that's going on in my life, and it would be one of those throwaway phrases. But actually, there's more to that because we really are experiencing the energy of everything, not just, you know, our daily lives right now.
Yeah, I think it's showing us, too, just how connected we all are to each other and everything. You know, I know that, you know, sometimes we can feel like we get swept up in the energy. I know I was feeling that way big time yesterday, only to find out that it's almost like, I don't want to say it wasn't my energy, but it wasn't my energy to the intensity that I was getting swept up in it. Does that make sense?
Completely.
Yeah. It does. And you know what's interesting? I mean, right now, you know, we're coming up to, Jupiter in Sagittarius is in a long square to Neptune in Pisces, Neptune in its own sign. And this was directly related to the full moon we had. And this month on the 14th. But Neptune is all about, you know, the veils are thinning when Neptune is really doing its thing. And also there's so much smoke and mirrors that goes on, you know, where everything is a bit of an illusion. You think you're doing one thing, and then you find out it's turned into something else. And, you know, or something's crept up on you without you even realizing it. And now suddenly you're in a situation. And the whole dream thing has been interesting as well. I went to bed last night thinking about a friend of mine in America who I don't, you know, we try to speak to each other every, I don't know, couple of months. And he recently had a stroke and moved house. And I was thinking, I haven't heard from him in a couple of months. I have to call him or I have to email him in the morning. I woke up to a text that came in at 2 a.m. from him saying, we need to talk. And I thought, isn't this interesting that I go to bed, you know, thinking about this and there's a text from him. I mean, truly, the veils are thinning.
Yeah. The interconnectedness, you know, I mean, it's like what I think what separated us or what we believed separated us just that's what's thinning. It just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, I know yesterday morning I woke up because I've been working diligently at feeling good when I wake up, you know, in those moments. I've been really putting my attention and my energy to that in the mornings. And I woke up feeling really great yesterday. And within about an hour, I found that I was just, it was almost like I was having a panic attack. And I haven't had one of those in a really long time. So there was panic, and I was trying to trace it. I was trying to kind of go inside to my community and find out where it was coming from. And what I heard was, you know, it's this three-year-old inside of you, and she's terrified and she's panicking. And so I thought to myself, okay, you know, just let's start talking to her. Let's start being present with her and that aspect of myself. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of all of that, I looked at my phone, and a friend of mine, a text popped up, and it was a message about another friend. And so I thought, but when I went to click on my phone, it wasn't a current message. It was an old message. And I thought, okay, interesting. And I, quite honestly, I was a little bit irritated because I was in the midst of feeling whatever this three-year-old was feeling. And so then I thought, well, maybe that's the message. Maybe I'll just call this other friend. So I called this friend of mine, and we were talking. And he's great at checking on things, and so he was checking on different things for me. And all of a sudden, he said something about it being my three-year-old, and I just got livid. I just got so irritated. And I
had a tantrum.
And I literally, yeah, I did have a three-year-old tantrum. And I said to him, I said, it is no. I said, the degree to which this is coming up, it is not my three-year-old. It's not my three-year-old. And as I said that, my text on my phone pops up again. It's the same woman. She said, Susie, she goes, I'm just panicking. She's going through some post-traumatic stress, and she's working with different kinds of modalities. And she said, my three-year-old's coming up. She's terrified. She's petrified. She doesn't know what to do. And I'm thinking, there it is. It's like, it's not completely, not that there wasn't a terrified three-year-old within me at some point and shows up, but the intensity of it was too much to be just mine, right? And so in that moment, it really, I mean, I think I got it like a knock upside the head, just how clearly we are all intertwined. And what was fascinating to me is that I went back to this guy and I said, okay, let's work on this. Let's work on my three-year-old, but on behalf of me and any other three-year-old that might be out there that's terrified, including this woman. And so we did that work together, and she literally texted me back before the phone call was over and said she was feeling better. And so I'm assuming that every other three-year-old is also feeling better. But, you know, it just, I think it really brought home to me in that moment that these veils, like you say, Sandy, they are thinning. And not only are they thinning, but as they thin, we're really getting to see that there is no separation between any of us, and how we care for ourselves, how we love ourselves, how we treat others and love each other. It's real. I mean, it's real that this has a huge impact on everybody involved, you know. So I was thinking about you, me too, going back to see your dad. You know, it's like,
yeah.
what an amazing opportunity. I keep thinking of that as being such an amazing opportunity for him and for you, and that interconnectedness as well.
It's huge. I mean, so my dad isn't well at the moment, and I mean, he's had health stuff on and off for many years, but at the moment he's got a bit more of an emergency going on. So it's funny, I was just reflecting this morning, because it has been so good to be here and to just get this uninterrupted time with them, and I'm staying with mum and dad and just, you know, sitting and talking to them this morning in the kitchen. You're much more aware and present to the gift of the time that you have. Mm. And it just reminds me of how when we live like that with everybody, it's so powerful. And it's funny, we were just with a friend of my mum's this afternoon, lovely woman who I've not met very much before, and she was sharing how she lost her husband to cancer 9 years ago. And they were talking about some people, and both she and I at the same time kind of almost both said, but you never know when anyone's going to go. Like, she was saying how she lives her life thinking, yeah, well, I'm alive today. And should I know that sounds morbid. And I said, no, that has been something I've lived by. I mean, it's something I often say on stage to people, because the truth is, all of us are only one phone call or one incident away from situations changing, health changing, people in our life changing. And so to me, it's been a really interesting experience being back here and being able to get this time to just come and be present with family. But it's something you said, Susie, that hit me earlier, which I think is so true. You were talking about this energy isn't mine, and I'm reminded how I do get the truth of what you're saying, because I think all energy is potentially ours if we let it in, but it might not have originated with us. And we are such an energy soup. It's been fascinating for me being home with family, meeting a large group of family at the weekend. You notice those dynamics that we all swim in and out of, and you notice your own stuff kind of going back to when you were younger and then now in the present, and just noticing how you all affect each other. And I thought, yeah, this is a family is like a microcosmic version of the world at large, because we are one big family. But when we're in groups that we know quite well, it's perhaps a little easier to see and notice how we all affect each other, because we're a bit more open, a bit more malleable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just takes me back over and over again to one of the things I used to say within the Awesomism practitioner process all the time is, you know, we have this idea, this concept that we're not our feelings, we're not our mind, we're not our bodies, we're not even our bodies, you know, that's not even just ours, right? But I used to do this practice within the Awesomism practitioner process where I would ask people to drive into different places, like around, you know, in their town, like, so drive into a very affluent area in your town. And just park your car for a second and just sit and think your thoughts. Just notice what you're thinking. And, you know, inevitably, you know, if people had issues around money or that kind of stuff, they might, all this negative stuff might come up about money, or they might feel very well taken care of. They might feel, you know, whatever the imprinting was along with the environment that they were in, they would start thinking certain thoughts. And then, you know, drive to a more impoverished area or, you know, and see what comes up. Drive to a park where there's all these little kids just playing, and just see where your thoughts naturally and organically go. And it's a fascinating exercise, because immediately you figure out that, you know, we're receivers. Right? We're receivers of information. And yeah, those thoughts are coming in, and that's what I mean, I guess, Lee, as far as it not being ours. Like, nothing can be there. It doesn't mean there's not a resonance, right? There's a resonance with certain things for sure. But it's not singular. It's not personal on that level. And I don't know, it's just, I know when I started September, when I was writing my newsletter, I was talking to people about the fact that September is going to be an opportunity to really look at our relationship to power. And that was definitely something that was coming up, you know, for me. And you know, how do we feel about power? How do we feel when we're empowered, or when we feel that somebody has disempowered us, or, you know, is that possible? But as I get, you know, towards the middle of the month, what I'm really beginning to wonder is that empowerment, or is that power related to a totality, related to a collective energy and how we receive that collective energy and how we give back to it versus, you know, some sense of personal power, right? I'm just not sure I believe in that anymore, you know, and we're only halfway through the month, so.
Well, I laughed because my September energy update, the main headline was authentic power, and my perception of it has always been that, you know, when we're looking at a collective theme, say power or anything else, you could line up 10 different people and have 10 very different experiences of power running through their lives that month based on where they're at, where they resonate, what their personality is, what their history is, what their trauma levels are. So yeah, for one person it might be personal power, and for another person it's the power of the collective energy field. It's interesting, isn't it? It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, where I find this, I mean, this is fascinating, and once again, I have to say, it fits in very well with the astrology. It always does. It just never ceases to amaze me. You know, you both know that I'm a great fan of Eric Francis, who is he's not just an astrologer. I mean, he was an investigative journalist, and his way of writing commentaries on what's going on in the world is, you know, I mean, I've never come across anybody quite like him, and he always seems to hit the nail on the head. And I received something from him, I think it was just yesterday, I think, and it was titled The Central Spiritual Question of Our Time. And I thought that was such an interesting title. And, you know, basically what he said is we're all facing an issue right now, and it's a challenging one. And in a word, it is Dharma. And from what he can tell, he says it involves a situation in society and a similar issue affecting all of us personally, as in few other times. And it calls for a response from a spiritual place of deep caring and responsibility. Mm. But it seems like many people are just unable or unwilling to respond from that place. And I think this has a lot to do with, you know, what you're talking about, the, you know, the veil thinning, the fact that we are all feeling each other's stuff, if you like. I think that, you know, that's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it can do great good. On the other hand, it can really bring people down. And that, when you've got this Neptune influence, the illusion, the delusion, it can really sap people's energy, and everybody starts to feel disempowered. I mean, you know, he talks about the fact that everybody feels the shit is so bad, what good, you know, can they possibly do? They feel disempowered.
Mm.
So, you know, the question is, how could we use this, you know, thinning of the veil, this ability to be connecting in with one another? How can we use that to turn that tide?
Yeah, I always go back to how do we care for ourselves? You know, I mean, if we're not separate, I mean, this really drives that point home. If there is no separation between the three of us sitting here having this conversation and expanded out well beyond that, then how we love ourselves and are kind to ourselves and care for each other, that's a little, like Lee was saying, a little microcosm of the macro, right? And I don't know any other way other than, because I think if it gets too big, it gets too complex. And I know, like right now too, it's like I've been setting up this collaboration with HeartMath and getting ready to start that in October. And just the focus right now, for me anyway, of going back to something as simple as, you know, hands on the heart, you know, yes, this is a really crappy, shitty day today, and I'm just gonna hold myself. I'm gonna put my hands on my heart, and I'm just gonna breathe through that space. And sure enough, it's like something starts to lighten up, and then the natural outpouring of that is to start feeling lighter towards other people or towards life or towards, so for me anyway, that's what it feels like. Sorry, I think I interrupted you, Lee.
No, it's funny because what you just said pinged something different for me. So yesterday, partly just because of family duties and everything we had going on, I just had a really back-to-back day here, in and out of people. I had jet lag. We were tired. It had been a long weekend. And I caught the part of me that was like, oh my God, I never run my life like this at home. You know, it's like at home, I even on really, really busy days, there's always a window where I can just walk away for 5 minutes, look at a tree, calm myself down. And because of the nature of people yesterday and expectations, I just didn't have that. And there were some really big emotional moments in my day yesterday that I didn't really have time to be with. They just kind of burst out in, like, you know, a moment of crying in a toilet, a bathroom, before I went into the next thing, that just because that was the only place there was space for me to feel it in and amongst all of these people agenda things that were going on. And it actually made me realize I've come a long way. Because I thought, wow, I don't live my life like this. And actually, this is kind of what's normal here. In a way, the busyness of all the doing all the time, it doesn't leave you room to feel. And if I go back a decade or two in my own life, I would have been playing out the same pattern to the same level as a way of coping. Whereas now I know that if I can give myself enough self-care, then what I'm putting out into the world vibrationally, whether it's chatting to the person in a restaurant, or whether it's, you know, work I'm creating, or whether it's somebody I'm helping with something, then that energy is what I'm putting out. It's one that is a sustained energy in me because I have figured out my areas that I need help or that I need support, and I can give those to myself. I don't need someone else to be able to do those for me or circumstances anymore. So that self-responsibility is one piece, but what I was going to say relates to what you just said about Eric Francis, Sandy. I think it's so interesting to look at Marianne Williamson running for office in America right now as somebody who is trying to bring a spiritual message to a very unspiritual area of our life, politics. And yesterday there was a TV program in the UK. People from the UK will know this show. It's Lorraine. And it's on in the morning, and she's a daytime host. She's been around for like 30 years. And she had a section with Patsy Palmer that my mum had taped for me because Patsy lives in Malibu, where I live. And she's doing this section of holistic things that she's trying out. And it was so interesting because once a week she shows things that she does in Malibu or LA that are for the soul and the spirit. And Lorraine, who's lovely and very warm and friendly, the way she framed it both times, because my mum had taped both of them for me to, so I could see them, she kind of had to laugh it off. She was like, "Oh, let's look at what the woo-woo things are doing." And I thought, oh, I wonder if Lorraine really thinks that, or she's just a great presenter who knows her audience. And in order to balance out the skepticism that British people will have to this kind of stuff. And being a Brit, I knew exactly why she was doing that. I thought, oh yeah, because most people will be folding their arms, going, well, this is woo-woo, this is spiritual. But I thought, well, at least it's on, at least it's happening. And if so, there is something at the moment. I don't know, that just you talked about, are we willing? How are we around the idea of spirit? And yeah, just those two things come to me in response to both of you.
Interesting. You're listening to What Is Going On's monthly Synchronize Your Energy show. We'll be back after the break with Susie Miller and Lee Harris, myself, more talk conversation, and Susie will be gifting us with another powerful energy process to help us rebalance and synchronize our energies for the coming month. Stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency? 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Welcome back to the Synchronize Your Energy Show. You know, an interesting thing occurred to me, Lee. There you are talking about Lorraine. You're talking about, you know, the British attitude towards spiritual things. You're talking about Marianne Williamson trying to, you know, bring spiritual principles into something as, you know, should we say, as corrupt as politics. And I'm also listening to Susie, who earlier on was telling us about her situation, you know, with the three-year-old child. And what struck me is how in America, certainly in California, where I've lived and where you guys live, you can have these wonderful, open spiritual conversations all the time. You know, the central spiritual questions of our time are up for discussion everywhere there. In a place like England, they're not. And that is exactly what we are lacking, because I think if more people had access, you know, to, let's just say, a form of, you know, a version of the whole spiritual arena that is, however, palatable to them, they might be able to have a window into a slightly different world, you know, one that's a little bit more high vibrational, and be able to muster whatever it is that they need to look at some of these spiritual questions and how do we deal with them.
You know, Sandy, that's exactly the reason why we kind of went why Awesomism went the route of heart math, because, you know, I mean, back to the simplest of things, you know, where are we in our hearts, you know, where, so it doesn't have to be kind of necessarily doesn't have to be spiritual or woo-woo, but most people understand kind. Most people understand, you know, some sense of, you know, loving support for another or an attempt toward that. And I know that, you know, with this HeartMath Collaborative, one of the things that's been really showing up is this awareness of how something so simple can connect us to something much greater within ourselves, you know, that it doesn't have to be some, you know, some concept of, you know, other worlds or other realities or multidimensionality or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, and especially when you're talking about relationship between one another. I mean, I know I have spent an awful lot of time working with parents of kids with autism and the different worlds and realities that they function in. But when you look at it on a bigger scale, it's like where we connect with each other, and this is becoming more and more evident as we've been talking today, where everybody connects with each other is kind of in that emotional body field. And as those veils are thinning, each one of us knows more and more all the time, right? How things feel or how we're being perceived or what thoughts are going on in somebody else's head. Or, you know, it's like, so, you know, for the person who doesn't really understand the multidimensionality of us and that we're not our thoughts or our feelings and or our bodies even. For somebody who's just looking to make a connection and have their lives be better, I mean, I just don't think there's any better way than through the heart. And I mean, I don't mean this to be an ad for a heart mass, but I've been totally impressed with the fact that you know, the science is there, and there are ways in which they have been able to demonstrate and really prove to that kind of mental mind just how interconnected we can be just through something as simple as being in our hearts. And that, interestingly, I mean, I've spent, you know, a fair amount of time in England too. And one thing I will say is that there's something about the people in England. It's kind of like the East Coast people. Like, once you get to know them and they are connected to you, it's like they're connected for life. You know, it's like yes. There's such a deep connection that's made. I mean, you two are case in point for me anyway. You know, it's right. So there's something about that interconnectedness that I think would. Yeah, I don't know.
I see it as grounded power, because I think one of the things that England is extraordinary at is grounded power, or I should say the British culture. And again, it's not like I've only lived in three countries in my life. It's the Netherlands, it's here, and it's America. But the one thing I think that the Brits and the Americans are complementary for each other is I feel like the groundedness that can sometimes not always be present in the Americans is filled in by the Brits. And I feel that I won't even say optimism, but I would say sense of possibility that the Americans hold generally as a culture, obviously everyone's different, but is good for the Brits, who have been taught to be skepticism and afraid to try something new, or tall poppy syndrome. So it's interesting.
It's very interesting. And the whole thread of this conversation, you know, I feel you're pointing out some really important things, and I hope our listeners are getting what I'm getting out of it, because, you know, you said the word kind, everybody understands kindness, and you're talking earlier, you spoke earlier about your situation being here with your father at a time when he's, you know, not well, and you're appreciating some of these basic things that we often don't have time for in our lives. And if we could all just act with one another like we would in a situation like the one you're facing, where we've had an opportunity to really confront what's really important in our lives, which is the simple things, the kindness, the love, the caring, you know, the connection, then we'd all be darn sight happier and better equipped to deal with the craziness that's going on.
Well, it's
interesting
you say.
Yeah,
literally
make you feel better.
Yeah, but I also think that one of the reasons we don't is because it's easier to practice it in company. So, for example, you know, if you go, you know, I see this at the retreats that we do, or retreats that I used to attend. When you put people together for 3 days or more, and they've all gone through this opening group sharing experience, or even you see it at rock concerts or pop concerts or classical concerts, where people have a shared experience that opens them, they are all a bit nicer to each other. They are all a bit, and it's easy to maintain that. Or after a crisis in an area, everybody looks out for each other for at least the first few weeks. But it's interesting. This goes right back to what Susie said, and we were talking about at the beginning, you know, what energy is ours, and what energy are we merging with in others? And so I think that's why the path of really devoting yourself to kindness, I think of monks and, you know, nuns and other people who are devoting themselves to a way of life regardless of the people around them. They're making a vow to go deep with their own spirit and connect inwardly in order to emit and or be of service to the rest of the world in a certain way, but they will stay steadfastly focused to their commitment above and beyond any personal relationships. So I think for most of us, I know for me, you know, part of the thing is I'm in and amidst personal relationships all the time, whether they're personal or work, and I don't really differentiate the two. And I think it is interesting. It's like, how much of our kindness and openness do we self-sustain, and how much is our kindness and openness a currency that we're all agreeing to and trading in and affected by?
Good point.
Beautiful.
Good question.
Yeah, very good question. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have an answer to that, but I do have an answer of sorts. And that is, it's over to you, Susie, because you're going to give us an energy process. And even if
poor
I don't
Susie,
find the answer.
Susie, we always open up this big can of worms and then we ask you to tidy it up for all of us. God love you.
Well, I get just as appreciative because whatever's going to flow through is going to support me too. So
of course.
Like, yeah. I'm glad about that.
Yeah, I'll be just as curious to find out what comes through as you all will be to hear it. All right. Okay then. So let's just start breathing into our bodies and allowing ourselves to be present here. So breathing in, and so where we're three steps ahead of ourselves, you know, we're already into what's going to be happening after this show ends, or if we're thinking through the whole thing about our past and how that, you know, has created something for us in this now moment, let's just collapse all of that, bring all of that back here in our breath. And so really starting to inhale some ease, exhale everything that's not, inhaling some grace, exhaling everything that's not, and really understanding that we have this in the moment system through our breath where we can pull in anything that we choose to pull in, and we can release anything that no longer serves, and it's kind of a moment by moment opportunity. Okay, so there we go. Now the field's opening up. So as this field starts to open up, you're taking me back to this conversation around power, empowerment. And I think we all kind of can agree on a mental level anyway, that the only real power that any of us has is the opportunity to empower, right? So whether that's the only power that any aspect of our inner community has is the opportunity to empower some of the other aspects of our community. So there's a place within each and every one of us that always has existed in this moment, does exist, that is the capacity to empower, right? So we're gonna make that bigger here. It's sometimes we can, like you were both saying, we can go through our days and we can just kind of miss those moments where we actually have the capacity to empower ourselves and to empower others. So let's just make that space bigger, that place where we're already capable of empowering. Nice deep inhale and exhale again. And now just even with that tone, there's just this greater sense of stability. So if empowerment, if our capacity to empower brings stability, it seems like we would focus a lot more on those places and spaces within us, especially when we're a little out of sorts, you know, like I was yesterday. It's in those places where we're out of sorts, in those very moments, what happens if we search for, or we go into that place within us that is already empowered, it's already filled with kindness, it's already filled with love, or the capacity to be compassionate toward that particular situation that we find ourselves in, right? So everywhere where we are in, everywhere where there is this energy within us that pulls us into a doing state, pulls us into a fix it from the outside kind of perspective, when either we feel disempowered or we're picking up the energies of people feeling disempowered around us, anywhere where that energy is kind of free-floating through our multidimensional fields, let's pull all that energy up and out. And as we pull it up and out of our fields, let's place that in a sphere. Again, we're just containing it because we can. And we'll add that little blue star, our totality, our wholeness. And we'll use that totality to spin out all of that information that kind of distracts or pulls us into, maybe sometimes even pulls us into action before we've had the opportunity to decide what kind of action we want to take, pulled us into feeling before we actually knew what kind of feelings we wanted to be a part of, right? So spinning all that energy out, we'll compress and condense that sphere. Once it's clear, compress and condense that sphere back down into that blue star. We're going to take that blue star and we're going to drop that blue star right into the center of our hearts and implode it into billions of frequencies of light. We're literally restructuring multidimensionally the fields so that we bring our attention point back to that which is empowering, back to that which empowers. And it makes pretty good sense that that might be our capacity to love, our capacity to have kindness or compassion, maybe our own hearts, right? And so even as I say that, and again, you guys are just giving me the information to say back to you. So even as I say that around the heart, I know my heart starts to feel more full. And it's what you're showing me as well. It's like there's a space that's created when we're connected to our own hearts, connected to the love that we actually are, the kindness, the compassion. There's a space that opens up. And within that space, the way you're showing it to me is it's like like I'm hearing it as the resolve and the dissolve. So the resolve to stay in that place of empowerment for ourselves and support others in that as we can, and the capacity to dissolve that which is not serving us in the moment, right? So resolve and dissolve, and it's almost like they happened in some ways like a paradox or a polarity that coexists, and simultaneously it empowers the way you're showing me. Resolve, dissolve is an empowering position, right? And that the heart is completely capable of resolving or dissolving anything, everything, anything. Such a simple tool. I resolve to find that empowered place within myself. I resolve to feel the power that I actually am, not just for myself, but for the greater good, right? And I dissolve, because I can, anything that stands in the way of that resolve. Yep, there we go. All right, so that's opening a really, really big field. Really big field. Okay, kira kina mataria so so kina ma. Okay, so nice deep inhale and exhale again. Breathe in that awareness and exhale anything that doesn't go with it, anything that's not resonant with it. Here we go. Okay, so what if our greatest superpower is just our capacity to be present with our own power? And what if our power is directly related to our capacity to just reconnect with our hearts, just be present there? Until we know what action step to take, right? So we know that a lot of times when we're anxious, panicked, in anxiety, kind of like I was yesterday, regardless of whether it's ours or someone else's, regardless of whether it's moving through the field and we're picking it up empathically, or whether there's some resonance still within it, who knows what the answer to that actually is. But what we do know is that in those moments, we can show ourselves a little compassion. We can show ourselves a little bit of love. We can put our hands on our hearts and just be present there, creating that space naturally and organically, which then allows us to take an action that we can be pretty assured is from a place of love, from a place of power, empowerment. Okay. So nice deep inhale and exhale, everybody, once again. All right, so let's just solidify this. It's like literally seeing a sphere around you that holds all the information that we shared today, the conscious and the unconscious awareness that was available. Let's go right into the heart. And we're going to broadcast from the heart right out into that sphere, into that multidimensionality around us, all of this awareness, so that we're kind of swimming in that soup instead of swimming in the soup of some of the chaos that's going on right now. So, and exhale, and when you're ready, just start wiggling fingers and toes and just breathing into the heart space, breathing out of the heart space. Just bring yourself right back, opening your eyes. Here we go. Feeling the stability that's there, the empowerment that's there. Cool. The empowerment to be present with the moment. Yeah. All right. Lee, Sandy?
You know, you said the word stability. And it's whenever you do this, I don't know about anyone else, but I always find, you know, at the end of it, I feel very stable, very grounded, very calm, and very together, very balanced. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Susie, we just need you at our house every day, all day.
Yeah, Susie in the cupboard.
Well, I think we tap into each other on a daily basis anyway, so just tap in. I'm
it's
sure
true.
That somewhere along the line we'll work it out. Yeah,
I can imagine just having a Susie in the closet.
Okay, Sandy, that can mean all kinds of things, so be careful.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you've got to be so careful with words these days, haven't we? Because they've all been hijacked, all of them. Yeah.
Just made me
well, I'm going to close with a word that I think has come up for me out of this show, and that simple word, kindness. You know, it's such an easy one to overlook, isn't it? But yeah, that's all we have to do. Nothing else but be kind. Practice kindness.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you, guys. It's always great to be with you. Lee, I do hope that your trip is a peaceful, calm and kind one. And you too, Susie.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to Synchronize Your Energy Shows. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this month's show and whether anything we've shared reflected your own experiences or inspired you to look at something differently. You can email us, careofsandy.sandysedgbeershow@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out Lee's and Susie's websites, leeharrisenergy.com, susiemiller.com. That's all for tonight. Thanks for joining us. I'll be back next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Goodbye from me, Lee Harris.
And goodbye from me, Susie Miller.